Okay. So everybody has to listen. Everybody was here. The interesting thing we have in Yahdus is, you know, usually we refer to our humanity, the people we've become, as the collection of all of our experiences, all the decisions we made, every single thing that we've ever done. That's what we are. But in Yahdus, we kind of believe something much more specific than that, that not only are we, of course, the person, the collection of everything that we've done, but everything that we've done is sitting there somewhere. It's in a box, or maybe I should say two boxes. And those two boxes are actually, one's holding zechuyos, one's holding not zechuyos averos. And as the Mishnah tells us in the first source over here, but the Ezeb ben Yaakov Omer, ha'usa mitzvah achas, kono lo prakod echad. A person who does a mitzvah has a defender. Ha'over avera achas, kono lo kateger echad. A person who does an avera has a detractor, we'll call it a detractor. An accuser is usually the word that's used. And so the idea that we find when it comes to our past, our histories, the sheets are somewhere over there, sorry, that we find in regard to our histories is that there are two different boxes. And in one box is the, we call it the Saneger or the Proklet, and in one box is the Kateger. And you imagine that the way this goes down, the way this happens is that you have, I don't know, imagine you're up for din, you're up for judgment, something happens, and then on the one hand, there's somebody who's saying, oh, this guy put on tefillin, that's the little zechus in that box. And there's another one saying, oh, this person walked the old lady across the street. And there's another one saying that, oh, no, he's a wonderful person, he gets stuck, he did chesed, he cooked meals for somebody, he was great. And then the other box, you have these other guys yelling out and saying, nah, he's not so good. Nah, he's not so good. Take that back. Trust me. He's not everything that he was all cracked up to be. He's not what you're... Because let me tell you what he did yesterday. He didn't wear tefillin on Tuesday. And he totally avoided the person. He walked right past somebody who was in need, somebody who was in search of something. And so we have this debate between the Kategers and the Sanegers. But what we also see, and this is fascinating, is that not only do our current and pending Kategers and Sanegers have what to say, but there's also our past. And not only our past individually, but our past collectively as Klal Yisrael. There are Kategers out there, there are things out there from our history, our collective history, that are waiting to pass, that are waiting to yell and to scream, and to say things about us as people, as individuals, as a community perhaps. And that's what I'd like to explore. How did this manifest itself, particularly on Yom Kippur? And if we have time, we're going to see why exactly that occurs in Yom Kippur. But how these Kategers and these Sanegers, these defenders, these accusers, how exactly they play into our Yom Kippur day and what we're supposed to be doing about it. I think we usually see this halacha in a bit of a distance. It's a cute thing, you know, what's the most famous halacha? Maybe you're not supposed to wear gold or certain things to shul. We're going to see the parameters of that. But what does it mean for us practically? What are we supposed to do with this? So we know the halacha begins in source 2 in a pasuk in Vayikra. Perek Tes Zayin says, pasuk Gimel, b'zosio v'aron ala kodesh. It describes how Aaron's going to come to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, specifically in Yom Kippur. The next pasuk says, pasuk dal kesonis bad kodesh ilbash. So he's going to be wearing specifically his linen garments. And so his linen garments are beautiful. You know, the linen garments are the garments that every kohen hedjot would be wearing. But for whatever reason, the pasuk seems to indicate that we're not going to have the kohen that will be wearing the big day zav. He's not going to be wearing all eight, which has the extra four, of course, had gold woven into their design. But specifically, we're only going to be doing the white and the linen. And the question, of course, is why? So everybody knows the Teretz, which is the title of the Shir, but I want to share with you the other Teretz. Why is it that we have an Isra, and we'll see the ramifications of what happens if a kohen does walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the day of Yom Kippur in the full golden vestment, but what exactly is the reason? So the first thing we have in source 2 is the Medrash says, and this is brought in the Bavli, and this is the only answer brought in the Bavli, but it says, Reb Simon b'shem Reb Yeshua Amar, b'pnei ma'in kohen gadol nichnas b'big day zav. Why is it that the kohen gadol does not go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with big day zav? So, in kateger nasa sanega. The accuser can't become the defender. Meaning, and so the Midrash elaborates, kadesh l'litim pischon pelis satan l'katre. So that the satan up there, I guess he's the one who organizes all of those accusers sitting in that accusatory box. So he doesn't want, we don't want that the satan should be mekatreg v'lomar, esmal asulahem elokei zav, or I should say elohei zav. You made a god of gold. You made a god of gold specifically in the story of the Ega. V'hayom him bevakshim l'shamish v'vigrizav. And now you want to use gold, that material, that terrible, terrible material that was used to build an idol back in the story of right after Mamet Har Sinai, right after the giving of the Torah, the revelation. We had this event of the Egel Azav, the worst sin perhaps in Jewish history, and now you want to use that same material and you want to use it somehow for kapara? How could you do such a thing? But that's the famous answer. But I just want to show you the other answers that people don't necessarily hear. There was a din that they wouldn't use the clothing that was brought into the Kodesh HaKodashim, they would never use it again. Okay, so if they would make it out of gold, that would be a very wasteful thing. Every single year they'd be making these gold vestments, investing however much money into the vestments, and then never use them again. So according to him, he says, it's b'shvil lochos ha'mamonu shel Yisrael, we're worried about the money. It's going to cost too much. B'levi yomar, b'pnei gaiva. You can't do it because of gaiva. The place of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the spot, is a particularly sensitively or spiritually sensitive spot. And for you to walk into that place, all decked out, all tricked out, with all the bling, not appropriate. Okay, so these are the different answers. These answers don't get a lot of play. One of them is brought in the Yerushalmi, but they found them in Drashim. You've never heard of them because they're not found in the Bible. Source 4, we have another one. The next, very next Medrash tells us another reason. This Medrash is not really explaining why it is that we don't wear gold. It's explaining specifically why we wear the white linen, why the Kohen Gadol wears only linen. And it says something very interesting. It says, Rebrechia of Rabbi Yirmiyah b'shem Rebchia Amru, K'sheiros shel malam, kach sheiros shel mata. The same way they serve above, meaning in Shemayim they serve, so too they serve below in the Kodesh Kodashim here. Mashiros shel malam, and the same way the sheiros above that we bring from Yecheskel Tes, v'yeshech v'besochem lovosh badin, and so too, I'm not sure who the ish is up there, it's a malach of some sort, kach shel matan, k'sonos bad kodesh yilbash. So the same way up there, that's how they do it. And so here, our Kodesh HaKadoshim is akin to up there in Shemayim. That's how we have white. It doesn't say no gold. It just says, yeah, that's why we have white. So we have three reasons no gold. We have one reason specifically why they should be white. And there's an interesting halacha related over here, because you might know that the avnet that the Kohen Gadol wore was not the same avnet that they wore all year long. It wasn't made out of the shatnez mixture. It was just specifically linen, had no wool in it, and that's that might be again these two different midrashim and what exactly the limud is in understanding why it is the Kohen Gadol walked into the Kodesh Kodashim the way he did. But we're more familiar with this next Gemara in Source 5 in Rosh Hashanah. This Ein Kateger Nasa Seneger. So the guy, the Kohen Gadol, he walks in with the eight vestments, and it's, I don't know, there's something very bad about him doing so, as the Medrash said. He's going to be accused. It's going to be said that, hey, how could it be that you're going to come in with the same material that was used for such an egregious chait? So the Mishnah over here, and the context is, of course, the Mitzvah of Shofar. So it says in the Mishnah, Kol HaShofros Ksherim Chutz Mishal Par. Any shofar is able to be used, except for a shofar of a par. You can't use a cow horn, if you've ever seen one. You can't use a cow horn. Hypnesha who Karen, because it's a Karen, and a Karen is not what we're supposed to be using. That's what the Tanakhama says. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Vahaloka, Shofros Nikru Karen, Rabbi Yossi objects. He says, what do you mean every shofar is called a Karen? Shanemari brings a pasuk. Fine. So, Machlokas, Tanakhama, Rabbi Yossi, whether or not a shofar shall Karen, a shofar of a para is okay for the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar. So the Gemara then goes into a few reasons. Why would that be? Why would the Tanakhama say that a shofar from a para is a problem? So Ula Amar. So Ula says, and this is what's relevant to us, Hainu Tamid Rabban. This is the reason for the Tanakhama, Kidr Rav Chista. It's like the opinion of Rav Chista. Dam Rav Chista, Vipneima in Kohen Gadol, Nichnas Levigde Zel, Vufnei Vilufnin, La Avod Avoda. What's the reason that Kohen Gadol of all days, right? It's the one day he gets any action in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. Why doesn't he wear the Bigdei Zav when he goes Lefnai V'Lefnin? So he answers, Rav Chista, L'fishen Kateger Nasa Seneger. Because it would be inappropriate for the accuser to then attempt to become the defender. So once the Gemara raises this issue, the Gemara says, oh really? I mean, how exactly does this work? What are the parameters? What are the rules of Ein Kateger Nasa Seneger? So the Gemara says, V'lo, what are you talking about that we don't take anything which relates to the Egel Zav into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So just notice what happens over here. We're focused on the gold. As far as I know, in Kateger Nasa Seneger only applies to gold. So what the Gemara said is, Ula told us, from Rechista we learned the following thing, that the same way gold can't be brought in And that's what Chista was talking about. The same gold can't be brought in. Not only the material that the egel was made out of is a problem, but so is the egel itself. The egel, the form of the calf, which was used as the egel, that's also a problem. So if that's also a problem, so a shofar of an egel, a shofar of the mother of the egel, right? The para is the female. The egel is, I think, the male. And so the tzura of the egel is also a problem. Not just the material of the gold, but the tzura, the form. And so when you take that horn, and it's, we know the horn of a cow, that would be inappropriate. You can't use that either. So that was already an extension the Gemara made, right? The first Vechista just said the gold is a problem. Our Gemara is saying not only is the gold a problem, but also the tzura of the para, the tzura of the para is a problem because of the eagle was also a para. So this says the Gemara below, what do you mean? You're telling me the para is a problem, the gold's a problem, but ha'ikot dam par. We're going to be taking the blood of the par, the Kohen Gadol is going to shech, his personal par, and he's going to be sprinkling it back. We know how it goes, and he's going to be doing that whole process inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So how can he do that? How could he do anything? How could he be makriv the par, and kategen as seneger? So the Gemara answers, says, ho b'ishtami ishtami. So we have a rule, and kategen as seneger. The rule goes like this. If the thing has changed so much that it's unrecognizable, either it's unrecognizable because all it is blood. I don't know what type of blood it is. Or I definitely don't know that it's dam par. I might know that it's blood, I just don't know it's dam par. But it's so unrecognizable that it's not going to be a problem of inkatega nasa senega. That's the Gemara's test. That's what the Gemara suggests. So it's a problem if it's gold. Obviously, it's not the same gold. It's the same gold that was used in, it's different gold. But that difference isn't enough because gold is gold. And when we talk about the shofar coming from a par, that's enough to be in Kategan Nasa Senega. But when I boil it down, or I should say I bleed it out of the blood itself, then the blood is not recognizable as par related or as par based, and so therefore hol v'ishtani ishtani. So that's the first rule. In Kategan Nasa Senega does not apply when it's ishtani. Number two, v'ha'yikra aron v'kaparis v'kruv. The Gemara asks, what about the aron and the kaparis and the kruv? Right, we have the aron and the kaparis, the cover of the aron and the kruv on top of the aron. Those are made out of gold. So, I mean, gold, you're going to have the Kohen Gadol walking into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he's not going to be wearing any gold, but he's going to be staring at gold. There's gold all around him. Answers to the Gemara, chote bal yakriv, kamrina. The problem of in kategan ha'sisenegar is a chote who is being makriv something. He's bringing something as a kapara. There's some tool that he's using. He's using a carbon of some kind, or he's maybe wearing something of some kind. He's being makriv. But the aron and the kaparis and the kruvim, you know what they're doing? They're just sitting there. They were there already. The Meiri puts it, I don't have it here, I have it later, but the Meiri puts it that they're tikkun. They're already sitting there. He didn't bring it in. He didn't do a process in order to have them now bring kapara. They're already there. So if they're already there, they're not going to be an inkategan as a senegar problem. Okay. The Gemara on the left side, but the kaf and the machta, the spoon and the ladle, they're going to be used for what? For the katoris. The katoris is going to be brought in. He's going to leave it there. It's going to smell up the place, as you probably heard in the previous shir. And so those are also made out of gold. And that is lahakraba. That is chote bal yakrav. That person is being, that Kohen Gadol is being makriv, the kaf and the machta. So he answers the Gemara, no chote bal yisna'eh karmina. The chote, the person who is sinning, who is searching, who's yearning for kapara, that person is not allowed to come in with something where he's going to be yisna'eh. He'll be aggrandized through it. He'll be beautified through it. He will, you know, he's walking in with the big day zav. He looks great, and he's, you know, walking around as if he looks like $1 million. It's the yisna'eh, which is actually difficult to translate, as we're going to see in a moment, because the definition of yisna'eh has to be flexible enough to maybe even fit something like shofar. So, for example, we said that a shofar of a para, right, if you're following, a shofar of a para was no good, because of ain't kategan as senega. Is a shofar bal hakrav, is a shofar something that you're being makriv with? Is a shofar something that you're being yisna'eh with? So Rashi and Tosas address this. Rashi and Tosas deal with which one of these answers still remain at the end, which is the most important answer at the end. But let's keep going, because the most important answer is still to come. But if you're going to tell me there's such an indictment on the gold investments that, you know, you can't be seen, the Kohen Gadol Chas V'Shalom cannot be seen in the gold investments because he is reminding, or it reminisces of the Egel HaZav, So then how could he ever wear the gold investments, even outside the Mishkan, outside the Beis HaMikdash? So answers the Gemara, mi bifnim karmina, we're talking about mi bifnim. Only in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is there like a sensitivity level where this matters. So far, what do we have? We have, the rules, the definitions, the parameters of Ein Kateger Nas Senegar. It is Ein Kateger Nas Senegar if it looks like a par, or if it comes from a par, unless it's too changed to be recognizable as a par, holy Yashtani, Yashtani, or if it, let's say, is gold, or it's made out of any type of gold, unless, of course, it's not being brought as something which you're being makriv, because of course the aron is gold and that's okay, that's not a problem. And also even the gold things that we bring in, they're just really tools. They're tools to hold the katoras. They're not lenoi. They're not there for me to aggrandize. They're not there for me to look good with. It's not an issue. So we've kind of narrowed it down pretty much. And then the Gemara says, so shofar also is not in the Kodesh Kadashim. The whole rule we just said is only applicable in the Kodesh Kadashim, but the shofar is never blown in the Kodesh Kadashim. So the answer is the Gemara, no. It's kind of like it's blown in the Kodesh Kadashim. What does that mean? Kim de lezikaron hu? It's for zikaron kibif nimdom. So if it was the week before, if it was the day before Rosh Hashanah, we would focus on this word. Why is the shofar lezikaron? What do we mean when we say that when we blow the shofar, there's zikaron, obviously zachronos we think of. When we think of shofaros, we think of zachronos. So maybe the Gemara is alluding to something relating to that. But not only that, but because it's lezikaron, whatever lezikaron means, kibifnim dam. It's like it's bifnim. So when you blow that shofar, it's as if, we'll see later, it's as if you're standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's something about that experience which places us, at least minimally in our imaginations, as if we are in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, so those are the general rules of Ein Kateger Nasa Senegar. That's what comes out from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavav. If you turn the page to page 2, you can take a look at the Rishon if you have time. I don't think we really have time for it, but the Rashi and Tosis and the Tva, they try to figure out exactly what are the problems with shofar, what's good about shofar, what's not so good about shofar. But the Ritva has one line here which is really important, I think, which will come up for our discussion tonight. The Ritva on 8, top of page 2, he says in his last line, Vitalis mitsuyetes. Let's say you have a talus, right? So you have a nice, pretty talus, Shehimus heves. It has gold on it. Have you ever seen a golden talus? So you have the ataras that come in silver. I've never seen one in gold. I'm not 100% sure why. Maybe it's not because it's too expensive, because that wouldn't stop us. And I'm sure there'd be a guy. There's always that guy who's going to have the talus, which is mitsuyetes, and it's going to be muzheves. It's going to have gold. He says the Ritva, mutar lil bosh b'yom ha-kipurim. It's okay to wear on Yom Kippur the havadei kalachutz dami, because that's definitely outside. So the Ritva just drops this line. He just drops this line after talking about what's a problem, like the shofar is a problem in the end of the day in our Gemara, according to the Tanna Kamma, because of all the things, it's like gold, it comes in parah, etc. There's even a sugya on the later daf about what if you have gold in the shofar, and it comes up there as well, a gilded shofar. But here he just drops this line. And this line ends up being really important, but it's not necessarily so consistent with everything we're going to see. What do I mean? The talus is considered something which is outside, it's chutz, so it shouldn't be a problem. We said the rules are that this sensitivity for Ein Kateger Nasa Senegar is only something that applies in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And he says, also, B'Yom HaKippurim, right? The only day we're concerned about this, it seems, is Yom Kippur, because it's only in Yom Kippur that I guess we're looking for a Senegar. Most days, like on a regular Tuesday, we're not looking for a Senegar. So, obviously, when it comes to the shofar is only relevant in Rosh Hashanah. And when it comes to the Shemona Begadim of the Kohen Gadol, it's only relevant in Yom Kippur. But what if there would be another situation, right? What if we would find another situation where maybe we would allege Ein Kateger Nasa Senegar? Would that apply? Does Ein Kateger Nasa Senegar apply on a Tuesday? A regular random Tuesday? Or is it something which only applies in the context of Din, judgment, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur? Anybody know of any practical situations of Ein Kateger Nasa Senegar? I read, I don't want to quote because I want to be sure before I say so. I think I saw in a sefer that if you have a cell phone and you want to use a cell phone for davening, okay, so maybe you shouldn't be allowed to use a cell phone for davening for a lot of reasons, distractions, etc. But also because maybe you played fantasy football or something else on your phone. And therefore, if you did something, you spoke Lashon Hara. I texted something that I shouldn't have texted to somebody. So therefore, in Kateger Nasa Senegar, I can't use that phone, which recalls something that I did wrong, as part of my tefillah. So, of course, in the sugya, as we've seen so far, the Ritva would say, what are you talking about? It's It's not Yom Kippur, I hope. You're not using your phone in Yom Kippur. According to this Ritva, it's Vadei Kelechutz Dami. It's definitely considered Lechutz, and not in the Kodesh Kodesh. I'm like, well, what's the big deal? The sensitivities are lowered. But let's see how, since the Ritva, this has been looked at, analyzed. This, the Ritva, for some reason, is not quoted that much in this context, in this conversation. And we're going to see how that plays out. So the Nechaz Chinuch wonders. It says, like, so what's the big deal here? Let's say the Kohen Gadol walks in. Let's say the Kohen Gadol walks into the Kodesh Kodashim with the Shemana B'Gadim. He's wearing gold. So, I mean, is this like a Midas Chasidus? So the din, of course, the Torah says he should be Big Devan. But let's say he doesn't. So says the Minchas Chinuch, V'da, does that Pasha, the B'Shasha Kohen Gadol, Lovish B'Gadim, Lovam, D'Yem Avad, Kigon, if let's say the Kohen Gadol goes and he serves in a way, when Hipech B'Tzinora, Gamir Mizbech, he switches something around, he does it differently. Chayiv Misa, Kim Mechusa B'Gadim. He is Chayiv Misa like a person who is Mechusa B'Gadim, wearing too few of the garments. So that's a Gemara. The Gemara says that a Mechusa B'Gadim is going to be Chayiv Misa. V'chein Amavad Eza Avoda B'Fnim, B'Vig Dezav. Let's say the Kohen Gadol actually walks into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and I don't know, he forgets to do one of the Tfilos and the Kiddush Dan V'Raglayim, he forgets to do all of the stuff, and he walks in with the Shmor B'Gadim, Dino K'din Yeser B'Gadim, it's like the same halacha as a Kohen Hedyot who puts on the 8 B'Gadim, he's not allowed to, he's a Kohen Hedyot, he's not a Kohen Gadol, so the halacha Shagam Kein Mukhi Misi B'Dei Shamayim. And so the Minchas Chinuch says that this rule is so significant, this rule is so important, that a Kohen Gadol who wears all 8, it's not like a chumra, it's not a midas chasidus, it's the halacha, it's the same way as mechusar begadim, the same way that a Kohen Hedyot isn't allowed to wear more begadim than he's supposed to, so to a Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh Kodashim is not allowed to wear 8, he's only allowed to wear 4. Okay, so that's what the Minchas Chinuch calls. Now, he draws this from the Rambam, and he says, it's from the Rambam that I have over here after source 9. Take a look on your own time whether or not the Rambam says this. The Rambam doesn't really say this. The Rambam just talks about a din of a Kohen Hedyot who is supposed to be wearing 4, who puts on 8. And he extrapolates from there that if a Kohen Gadol is not supposed to be wearing 8, so he's like a Kohen Hedyot, so therefore if he puts on 8, he's also Chayav Misa. But the Rambam doesn't exactly say what the Minchas Chinuch maybe says, or maybe he's not referring to the Rambam as saying that just the basic din of a Kohen who is Meyusa B'Gadim, he has too many. Maybe that's all he's learning from that. In any event, Minchas Chinuch obviously takes this very seriously. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to do this. Now, whatever the reason is, the Torah says, he's only going to be wearing bad, he's only going to be wearing linen when it comes to him going inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, so let's take a look. Let's take a look at where this manifests itself in the Torah, because we're going to see some surprising things. Because it seems, even though Ein Kategen Asa Seneger is something which seems, at least according to the Minchas Chinuch, be a life or death issue. Life or death issue, we see it happening all the time, that Kategers and Senegers are somehow, guys are jumping out of one box and turning into things in the other box very simply and very easily. So let's take a look at Source 10. Vayikra Perek Tes. Vayiba Yom HaShmini, first Pasuk in Parsha HaShmini, Kara Moshe Liyaru Levana V'Lizikni Yisrael. So we have the order of what's going to happen in the Chanukas Hamizbech, the new up and coming Mishkan, which was just built. Aaron ben Bakar lechatas. Aaron is told, take an egel. Right, so you imagine, like, you know, Aaron hears the word egel, and that's a little bit overwhelming. You know, his whole past bunch of months were probably made miserable by this whole memory, the haunting memory of the egel, and we're going to see more on that in a moment. So he's told you're going to be taking a few karbanos, the hakrev lefnei Hashem, and bring them before Hashem. And as well, in Pasuk Gimel, the Bnei Yisrael are also told to take an egel. So Aaron's taking an egel, and the Bnei Yisrael are taking an egel as a karban in this brand new minted mishkan. Rashi says, and he gets it from the Medrash in Source 12. Rashi says in Source 11, Lehodia shemechaper lo hakadosh baruch hu. It shows, it informs us that hakadosh baruch hu is mechaper al yedei egel zeh. Al masaho egel sha'asa. This egel was mechaper for that egel. Great news. Great news. Aaron's bringing an egel, and the egel not only does it show that there was a kapara, this egel, the Medrash makes clear in the middle of the paragraph, the next paragraph, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu b'olam hazeh nischaper lehem al yedei karban. It's literally this egel which achieves the kapara for the egel hazeh. Perhaps not a full kapara, as we're going to see much later. Maybe not a full kapara, but for whatever it was possible at that time, that egel achieved that kapara. So Aaron HaKohen is bringing that egel, and all is good. Now, of course, you're wondering, you're saying, how can Aaron HaKohen bring an egel to be mechaper for the chet of the egel? In kategor nasa sanegel. I mean, in kategor gadol mizu. Forget about it. The horn of a para. He's actually staring an egel in the face, and he's saying, the egel should come and atone for the egel. How dare it? How dare it come and atone for the egel? And so the Marsha asks the kasha. The Marsha says, v'adarin kachocha egel ben bakar, yovel egel b'chaper al-masa egel, l'maydem masa kachem b'befnim karmin anicha. He says this only makes sense in the end of the day in the Gemara, because the Gemara said, when is in Kategor Nasa Senegar a problem? Only when you're in the Kodesh HaKadosh. And the Kodesh HaKadosh is a great heightened sensitivity. No egels, no shofars, none of that stuff, none of the gold, nothing in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Out of the Kodesh HaKadosh, we're cool. So where was the egel of Aaron HaKohen brought? Outside. It wasn't brought into the Kodesh HaKadosh, it was a regular carbon. So now, it's okay, because it was chutz, it wasn't pin. Then the Marsha reflects for a moment, and he says, it's underlined. Mihu, Yeshua says tam b'zeh. You got to give a reason for this. Why? The davar shehu kategor mibifnim, yes, aneger b'chapara mibachutz. Like, how does this work exactly? You go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it's like the worst thing in the world you could do. Oh no, get the eagle out of here. It's the worst thing. You go outside, and this eagle has the potential to atone for Aaron's chet, for the chet of Kal Yisrael. How could it go both ways? Bifnim, it's like a really bad guy, and b'chutz, it's a good guy, it's the best guy, it's kapara, it's atonement, it's mamish the opposite. So I understand that you're going to tell me we're not so machmir when we're outside, we're not so stringent when it comes to this din of in kategor nasa sanegor, we're not so sensitive, but for literally to have an opposite result, for to bring kapara, when we talk about bifnim, it seems impossible to bring kapara. It's literally the opposite. It's an accuser, not something which is going to defend, not something which will be an advocate. Like, how could that be? So take a step back in order to understand how this could be, and look at the Medrash in Shmos Rabbah, top of page 3. So the Mishkan, famously, was made out of a lot of gold, right? The Mishkan's made out of a ton of gold. Almost everything in the Mishkan is covered in gold. And so the Medrash tells the whole story about how excited the Jews were to give their gold to the Egel HaZav. And then finally, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yavo Zav HaMishkan V'yechaper HaZav HaEgel. The gold of the Mishkan should come and atone for the gold of the egel. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisrael v'shosh asisam es ha'egel, hechastam osi be'ele Elohecha. You got me very, so to speak, as it were, very upset, so to speak. Achshav v'shosh ha'mishkan be'ele ani misratza. Now that you made the Mishkan, I'm misratza l'cham, I'm okay with you. Hari ele p'kudei ha'mishkan. That's the accounting of the Mishkan. Those are the gifts of the Mishkan. The gifts of the Mishkan were there so that they would have the opportunity to give up their gold for a good reason, and not to give up their gold as they had in the past as an egel. So now, of course, you're thinking the same thing. How could you atone when it's literally the gold that was given for the egel, which tells us later, in kategor nasa sanegor, bring gold away from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and even double, gold was made, it seems, to build the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So how do you drive all of this? What are the rules? So by now maybe you've figured it out. How can you have an egel, which is so verboten and such a radioactive thing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and yet we have this gold atoning for the gold of the egel outside or even inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim? How can we have the egel, the calf itself, brought as a carbon in chutz, as a kapara, while bifnin, it's the worst thing ever? So the Aruch Lanier tries to square this circle, and I think he gets a 95. There's a little problem at the end. Let's take a look. He says that very nicely. So the Aruch Lanier says, the Gemara source 15, Hamarsha b'chidushi ha'gados, Hevi b'shem Remi brings the question the Marasha asks. It's not the Marasha's question, it's the Mizrahi's question. V'tiritz, in the second line. V'tiritz k'tiritz ha'tahar gemar. He says, the same teretz as the Gemara. D'hachad b'fnim karminan. This is b'fnim, v'egol b'chutz. The carbon, that what we don't allow, was inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But the egol that was born, and v'hibayom ha'shmini, that was actually mibachutz, and that's okay. When Marsha hikshals and the Marsha wonders, at the end he reflects. He says, "The mikal makom eats svar alarm with the Marsha kadegar b'fnim." He a kapara v'sendegar b'chutz. It doesn't make sense to say that something which is a terrible thing in b'fnim is going to be a kapara l'chutz. So it says the Aruch Lanier as follows: Ulanias daiti biyoser yesh lahakshos. I got a better kasha. Forget about Vayiba Yom Hashmini. Forget about the Eino. The Harim Medrash Rabba Parshas Bakuda Yisa. It says in the Medrash. We just saw it on Rosh Chodesh Baruch Hu. Yavu Zav HaMishkan V'yechaper Al Zav HaEgel. The Zav of the Mishkan, the whole Mishkan is built out of gold in order to atone for the gold of the Egel. V'halomi Zav Zeh Nasagam Aron V'kaparasu Kruvim V'im Kein HaMishan Eger Bifnim V'ein Shuv Yekru Kategar. You have the gold inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is there to atone. So don't tell me that inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim it's too sensitive to be able to atone for what happened in the past of the Egel HaZav. We have it happening. The gold of the Kaporis and the gold of the Aron was also part of the gold that we've seen in the Medrash over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is coming in order to atone for the gold that was given for the Egel. So it even works. Atonement even can happen in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He says that's a much better kasha. He says, Aval Ani Asnaiti Yeshlomar, middle of the paragraph, the Vade, he says, we're misunderstanding the whole thing. The thing that is brought for its own kapara, you're not flipping boxes. You're not saying that the things in one box, the kategors, the accusers, are going to come out and yell at you. You want to put it in the other box, but it's still yelling. No. He says, keder chatshuva hashlema. That's what tshuva is. V'hamitis. L'shuv b'oso davar. Shechatabo. He says, if you want to go and have an act, you want to take gold, and you did something terrible with gold, and you want to be contrite, and you feel terrible, and you want to do tshuva with that thing, take exactly what it was that you messed up with, and use that thing in a way which is more productive, in a way which is constructive, in a way which is fruitful. That's exactly what you're supposed to do tshuva. We should do it with ourselves, with our own behavior. If we did something which was bad, we should try to be in the same situation and do the good as opposed to the bad. That's classically what tshuva is built of. He says, K'mosh amru zedonos nasa kezchuyos. Those very things that we did wrong can be turned around. Ulekacha egel v'hazav. So therefore, the egel of Vayiba Yom Hashmini, the egel of Aaron HaKohen, that egel and the gold that was brought for the kaparas oven ha'egel, havisenegar, their defenders, their advocates, belokatega, they're fine. I took an egel. Why? Because I wanted to, as opposed to the last time we made the egel hazav and we danced around it. I want to take an egel and I want to make a carbon. That's beautiful. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. Last time I spent my gold on the worst things possible. Now I want to spend my gold on the best things possible. That's exactly how tshuva works. Aval. When does ein kategor nasa sinigar apply? But masha lo ba l'chaparas avon ha'egel. Something that I'm bringing in an ancillary way. And I'm only bringing a rak l'tzorech acher. Kegon b'gdei kohen gadol v'shofar b'zeh shayach haskaras ha'chet b'nasa kategor. But when I walk into that kodesh ha'kadashah, and I'm here for what? I'm not here just to be mechaper for the ego. I'm here to be mechaper for myself, for all of the things that I've done wrong. I'm here to be mechaper for all of the kohanim, and I'm here to be mechaper for all of Klal Yisrael. And there's a whole list, a whole bevy of things that we've done incorrectly over the course of the year. And I'm not sensitive to the fact that I'm using gold to get that kapara. I'm not only trying to come here for the ego. I might not even be at all attempting to come and be mechaper for the ego. That was generations ago. Now I'm going to walk in and not be sensitive to the fact that there was an egel like sitting on my shoulder. Well, not literally, but sort of. That can't be. That's yeah. So that I cannot come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with an ancillary reference to the egel. I can come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and be machaber for the egel. That's great. I just have to do it specifically with the egel, let's say, of Aaron, or let's say with the gold of the Aaron. Okay. So he continues. He says, towards the end, the Ein Lahakshos, and this is where I think it gets a 95, but maybe I'm wrong, you'll tell me if I'm wrong. The Ein Lahakshos, the bottom three lines. Don't ask, De'im Kain, Ki Parech Ha'ika Aron, when the Gemara asked, right, the Gemara said that you can't bring the Par's shofar. Why? Because it's Ein Kategor Nasa Sinegar. So the Gemara said, what about the Dam? It says, no, hold the Ishtami Ishtami. That's what we saw in the Gemara. Once it's changed. Then the Gemara says, what about the Aron and the Kapores? And the Kruvim, right? So what did the Gemara answer? The Gemara said, no. It's only Hakrava which is a problem. Those are already there. Only Hakrava is a problem. You know what the Gemara should have answered? The Gemara should have said, that's not a problem. That gold was there to atone for the gold of the Egel. Meaning that's not a problem because of this whole Shekel Tarets. It's not a problem because you took gold and you salvaged it. You reclaimed, let's say, you know, all the Kategor is about baggage. I'm holding out the baggage that comes with me throughout my sordid history. I claimed my baggage. I took that gold and I turned it to something great. Shouldn't the Gemara have answered that to that question? Why do you have gold in the Kaporos and the Aron and the Kruvim? How could you have that gold? What do you mean? That gold salvaged itself. That was the good giving. That salvaged the bad giving of gold to the Egel Hazav. Why didn't he answer that? So he gives a teretz, which is problematic, I think. He says, the Yeshlomar, I'll tell you why the Gemara didn't give that answer. The Yeshlomar, based on his whole Shekel Tarets, the Yeshlomar, the Harihaya, gam kein mizav shalohu v'lachamara. Maybe that gold on the Aron, I don't know how we know, but let's say we know, that gold on the Aron was specifically not from the gold, wasn't from the gold that was donated by people who had committed the Chet HaEgel. But rather instead, it was gold which was given by who? Women or Levian. And so they didn't have any gold that needed reclamation. They didn't have the Chet HaEgel which was sort of hanging over them. So that gold that they gave went into the Aron. Therefore, the Aron wasn't a part of the atonement. So when a Kohen Gadol goes in and sees the Aron, and he sees the gold in Yom Kippur, why aren't we bothered by the fact that Ein Kategor Nasa Senegar? Answers the Gemara, oh, because that was already there. We're talking about Hakrava. I bring gold as part of the process of atonement. That's when it's a problem. So that's how the Aruch Lener tries to get out of the problem. That's how he tries to get out of the problem. There are two big problems with the Aruch Lener. Problem number one with the Aruch Lener is the next source. Yerushalmi, which I don't know, he glosses over. I'm not sure exactly what the issue was, but where the Yerushalmi says in source 17 explicitly, the kapores, the zav and the kapores came to be mechaper for the zav of the ega. It says explicitly. You can't say that no, maybe all of the kapara gold was kept out of the aron. And only the gold in the aron that was left from the levim or from the women. It's specific. In the Yerushalmi, that the zav shel kaporis would be mechaper for the zav of the egel, and so it's not a good answer, right? You can't say this. So then he comes back to his question, which is excellent. Why didn't the Gemara just answer? What do you mean? What's the problem with the gold of the zav or the gold of the kaporis? Maybe that gold was just that was already reclaimed, that was already atoned for. It's no problem, unless you say that the Yerushalmi and the Balvi argue about this. I'm not sure what you could say. The other problem, I think, with the Aruch Lener is, if let's say he's right, that it's the gold of the women and the Levim that was in the Aron. So then, why would the Gemara ask, in Kategor Nasa Senegar? The Levim's gold is beautiful. The Levim at Tzadikim. The Levim's gold is the best gold ever. They never had anything to do with gold. The women's gold, they refused to give up their gold for the movement of the Egel HaZav. So what would have been the Kasha? The Aruch Lener is bothered by the Teretz. But now I'm bothered by the kasha. What would the kasha have been? You walk in and you see the Aron. Good, the Aron's gold. But you know what gold that is? That's the pure gold. That's the purest gold. It was given by the people who were never troubled by the chet of the Egel Azov. So either way, the end of the Aruch Lener is a little bit troubling because what he lays down, though, is a beautiful idea. He says that when I'm trying to be mechaper for a thing itself, we have no problem with Ein Kategor Nasa Senegar. That's what tshuva is. Tshuva is when I take all of my problems and all of my baggage and all the things I did wrong in the past, and I try to change that and make good out of the bad. I'm not trying to avoid the bad. I'm trying to make good out of what was bad. As opposed to Ein Kategor Nasa Senegar, that's only when I'm trying to atone for something else. But I'm not sensitive while I'm doing so that I'm referencing something which has a bad history, something which is in my past that I'm obviously not paying attention to. And Ein Kategor Nasa Senegar is a separate issue, whereas kapara and atonement for the thing itself could never be a problem. So for time, I want to skip a little. Let's go to 3. I'm sorry, the bottom page, the source 21. So there's a famous din, and we're not going to get too much into it, but the din is, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we learned it from a pasuk in Haftarah of Shabbos Chazon. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Kol Kohen Shaharigas Anefesh Lo Yisa Es Kapav. A Kohen who commits murder. Okay, so let's assume he's not an Israeli soldier, you know, all sorts of shilas when it comes to that question. He's a murderer. He's just a, you know, good old murderer. Okay? And nothing good or old about murderers, but yeah. Shenemar Yedechem Damam Leo. The pasuk over there in Yeshaya, Perak Aleph, as you see on top of the next page, source whatever, before 22. Of Riskan Kapechem Elam Einayim Yikem Gam Kisarbu Svila Einenu Shomei Yedechem Damim Meleo. Your hands are bloody, and therefore Einenu Shomei. I'm not listening to you. So therefore we learn from here, says Rabbi Yochanan, that a kohen cannot duchen if they have committed murder. It's fascinating. Halach and Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch seem to argue about, well, can he do tshuva, how he does tshuva, etc. Tosfos makes a point over here, a very small point where it's bold, but it's an important one. He says, and we're not going to go through the whole shakra of Atari of Tosfos, he just says one line. He says, the reason is, Dafka lo yisa is kapav, lefi shahargu biyado, the inkateger nasa senega. Inkateger nasa senega. Kohen can't duchen with his hands a committed murder because in kategor nasa senega, the prosecutor can't become an advocate. The prosecutor can't become a defender. Okay, how does that fit into our paradigm so far? Is it inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim? No, it's not inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But okay, there's another gemara which is also causes problems. Source 23, the Lulav HaGazel. You all know Lulav HaGazel, we're coming up to Sukkot. Why is the Lulav HaGazel a puzzle? So the Bavli has a couple of reasons. Reason number one, it says, Ul kachtam lachem, b'yom rishon, it's got to be yours, it can't be anybody else's, it can't be borrowed, it can't be stolen. But not only that, the Lulav HaGazel is a mitzvah of Avera. Mitzvah of Avera is a problem. The Yerushalmi phrases it a little bit differently. It's not clear if it's a third thing or it's just another explanation of a mitzvah of Avera. The Yerushalmi says, Amar Rab Levi, Zeshu note lulav gazel, a person who takes a lulav gazel, makes a bracha on a lulav gazel, lemahudam alechad shekibedes hashulton tamchu yechad benimtza mishalo. I gift. I go to somebody's house for lunch and I quick run into their cupboard and I take something and I wrap it all up and I hand it to them and I say, thank you so much for having me. Right? That's a terrible thing to do. It's a terrible move. They're going to realize that, like, you just took my thing. I mean, that doesn't work like that. That's not only not going to be flattering. It's going to be insulting. What do you think? I'm stupid. Amru. Woe is this person. Like, you wanted the play to be a nice thing. The play was going to be a gift. The play was going to be a measure of my appropriate etiquette. The play ended up, I don't know, getting me a night in jail. So you can't come with a stolen lulav. Now, I ask you again, is a lulav bifnit? Is a lulav in the Kodesh Kodashim? I thought we said, in Kategan Asenegar, something which was only in the most sensitive part in the Mishkan. It's only in the Kodesh Kodashim. So there are a bunch of answers to this question. I'm running out of time. A bunch of answers to the question. One answer I actually asked Rabbi Ari Leibowitz, who I bumped into in the hall over here. I said, he must have a shir. Must have a shir on this. And he sent me his son's bar mitzvah shetel from a bunch of years ago. I'm not sure exactly how old his son is at this point. But from his bar mitzvah shetel. And he said, you might have to wade through all the thank yous. And so indeed, I read the bar mitzvah shetel and I had to wade through all the thank yous. The thank yous were beautiful. But in the pshetel, he quoted a shtickle from Soloveitchik. I'm new around here, so I wasn't exactly sure where to find it. But it goes as follows. And he says that really all of these cases, whether Brachas Kohanim or the Lulav, and he proves the point, he says they're all tefillah. And tefillah and shofar, that's what it means when we say the zikaron. Shofar is for a zikaron, it has to do with tefillah. And tefillah is as if you're in the Kodesh HaKadosh. So any din that has to do with tefillah, and maybe even iPhones, as I mentioned that possible halacha before, maybe even iPhones, when it has to do with tefillah, then the stakes are higher, it's ki'ilu, it's the Kodesh HaKadoshim, I'm having an interface with God in that moment, and therefore the rules are more strict, and we say, in kategor nasa senega. That's how he quoted, at least in his son, is in the pshetel, that's how he quoted the Rav's perspective on how you solve all these problems. There's a more pashut solution, or I don't know, more pashut, but more in the text solution, something that you probably, I don't know if you ever noticed this in the beginning of Parashat Sukkot, but it's like a little bit of a stira. If you're not sensitive to how in kategor nasa senega works, and you read Parashas Chukas with the Parah Aduma, so it gets a little bit confusing. So Source 24 is the pasuk Zos Chukas HaTorah, so we know when we read Parashas Parah, we read Parashas Chukas, etc. So Rashi says two famous things, but really they contradict each other. Rashi in Source 25, Parah Aduma. Why do we take a Parah Aduma as part of the Parah Aduma process in Parashas Chukas? Moshe ben Shivcha Shatinet Pal Shal Melech. So you have the son of the maidservant who got the whole place dirty. So Amru Tavo Imam Tikna Chatzor. So the mother of this child has to come and clean. Kach Tavo Paro Utzachaper Al Ha'Egel. So the eagle is the son who makes the mess. That's the eagle Hazav. And so you bring the Parah Aduma, which is the mother, to atone, to do right because of the mess that the son had made. So what do we have here? We have kapara. We have the egel being having a kapara through a para for an egel, which, I mean, we thought was a problem. You're not allowed to do that. But okay, Aruch HaNer explained maybe why it's okay. But here, Ela Lazar HaKohen. Kashem Shenikalu Al Aron Kushu Kohen Lassus HaEgel. Why was Ela Lazar HaKohen tapped to do the job of the para aduma? Why not Aron HaKohen? So Rashi says, so the same way, it's because Aaron was the one involved in the Egel. Well, the fisha Aaron also say Egel lo nasa sabo de zu al yada. So because he did the Egel, he couldn't do the Paraduma. He couldn't command the Paraduma. Why? She'in kategor nasa senega. Because the accuser can't become the defender. So the para itself can. Aaron HaKohen, who is the perhaps on some level the orchestrator of the entire episode, can't. So it's a steer in two rashes, almost consecutive rashes. You have something in Parah Adumah is an atonement, and something, no, God forbid, to replicate that is not atonement. So we're not going to see it inside, but the Gur Arye explains as follows. The Gur Arye says that there's a difference, and it really speaks to everything we've been saying so far, from the Aruch Haner and on. The Aruch Haner said that if you have a thing that you're trying to atone for, and you use the thing itself, Shalom Yisrael is fantastic. So take a look at the Paraduma. The Paraduma is attempting to atone for its child. So the Para is the atonement for the Ega. Beautiful. It's not a Kategar, a Senegar. It's actually, it's coming specifically for that task. But Aaron's involvement in this process, it's not about Aaron having a Kapara. Vayhi b'yom hashmini, him bringing that Ega on that day, that was about Aaron getting a Kapara. But this is about a Kohen managing the process of Paraduma. Paraduma is about doing a kapara for the Egel Hazav. But for Aaron a Kohen to be doing that has nothing to do with the process of the Paraduma. So actually, it's a little bit offensive to have Aaron a Kohen involved. Because for Aaron a Kohen to be involved with the process of the Paraduma, and for nobody to realize, what do you mean? This whole thing is happening to atone for the Egel Hazav. But this is the guy. This was the guy who was involved with making the Egel Hazav happen. How could you not notice that in Kategor Nasa Senega? And so that's why we have a chiluk, a difference between the actual thing, where we try to atone for the thing, that's the para for the Egel, but the side, on the side is Aaron, and Aaron has no business over here. Aaron is not getting a kapara because of the process of Parah Aduma. So therefore Aaron is not appropriate, it's appropriate that Aaron not be involved in the process of Paraduma. So it's not a stira. It's really reinforcing the point we've seen so far. To atone for the thing itself is not in Kategor Nasa Senega. You know what that's called? That's called tshuva. That's called trying to repair what was broken. But to not be sensitive to the ancillary things that might be distracting the tshuva, that is in Kategor Nasa Senega. Because so we you see this in the Chidah, in Source 27, and Source 28, I'm just running out of time. In Source 28, the Minchas Asher actually has a different resolution for all these problems, but what this would mean is that when you think about Sukkah, or you think about the issue of the Berachas Kohanim, so those guys, right, the Lulav, not Sukkah, Lulav, the Lulav is it was a stolen Lulav. So unless you're coming to figure out a way to atone for it, right? Then, of course, it's going to be a problem of in Kategor Nasa Senega. Oh, it's bechutz, it's not on the inside. So the Chidah says the Chiddush. Really, here's how it works. The distinction between pnim and outside is only when we're talking about the ancillary thing. When we're talking about an ancillary thing, so then, yeah, maybe there's a difference between the thing itself, between Panim and the outside. So for example, we're talking about gold, not the gold of the Egel, but gold in general. So gold, so if it's on, if it's not like the actual gold that was used in the Egel Hazav, it's just gold. So Panim we're very sensitive, outside we're not. But if it's the Chote, if it's the thing which was the problem, for example, it's the stolen Lulav, doesn't matter if it's Chutz, doesn't matter if it's Panim, how could you possibly use that anywhere? And Kategor Nasa Senega. If we're talking about the what we saw in Yivama, so in the Tosis over there with the Kohen's going to use his hands to give bracha. Kohen can't use his hands to give bracha. How could you possibly do that? In Kategor Nasa Senega. Oh, what about the distinction of Pnim and Chutz? That distinction is only when we're talking about ancillary things. Aaron HaKohen? Aaron HaKohen is not ancillary. Aaron HaKohen was the guy. He was the guy who committed the chet of the Egel Hazav on whatever level, however we understand what that means. And because he was that person, doesn't matter the chutz, doesn't matter the fnim, he cannot be involved, as opposed to the paraduma itself, which is a process of kapara, that even if the paraduma was done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, not, which it isn't, but even if it was, it would be fine. So there's a whole shiloh over here, which is worth looking at. Can you wear a gold watch? Can you wear a gold watch? Based on everything that we've said, can you wear a gold watch on Yom Kippur? What do you think? Can you wear a gold watch on Yom Kippur? Is it Bifnim? Is it part of the tefillah? No. So if you take a look, we have a tshuva over here, because the Shulchan Aruch brings this up, the Ramah brings up, Chenog and Lulbush HaKittel, Shehu Lovan V'naki, you wear a kittel, and Rabbi Kivi Eger says over there that you shouldn't have gold on your kittel. And he mentions, though, that maybe women in Levium could have gold on their kittel, because of the point that I mentioned before, because they weren't involved in the Egel Hasav. And so we have the Tzel Chacham of Tal Stern says that although some might think that you're not supposed to be wearing a gold watch, it's not Bifnim, it has nothing to do with Tefillah, it's not a problem at all. He says maybe it's a different problem relating to the Dinim of Yom Kippur, but not a problem in Kategor Nasa Senegar. So I just want to turn to the last page in the few minutes we have left to offer maybe two different approaches. Why is in Kategor Nasa Senegar relevant? What are we supposed to be thinking about this problem? Good, it was only Nogei to the Kohen Gadol and Shmona Begadim, or is there something more? So in source 32 on the back page, why is the Egel the number one in Kategor Nasa Senegar issue? There's nothing about the Meraglim. Right, there's nothing about, maybe big grapes. Big grapes should be an issue, and we shouldn't use anything related to produce because in Kategor Nasa Senegar, nothing like that. It's dafka attached to the Egel Hazav. And it comes from a pasuk, I believe, the end in pasuk Lamed Daled and Perek Lamed Beis and Shmos, where it says, "Pakti pakanti alehem chatosam." I will bring an account for their chatoim. And so Rashi, in this summation, God's summation of what's going to happen in the upshot of the story of the Egel Hazav, so Rashi says, "Tamid kasheefkod alehem avonosehem." Whenever I think about their chatayim, whenever I think about the things that they do wrong, I'm going to ufakadati alein ma'at min ha'avon hazeh. A little bit of a dose of punishment will come to the Jews because of what they did at the Egel Hazav. Ein peroni yisbal yisrael she'ein b'ktsas mipiron avon ha'egel. There is not a single bad thing that happens to the Jews, says Rashi, based on the Gemara Sanhedrin, which might be a machlokas, but the Gemara Sanhedrin says it, and Rashi quotes it. There is nothing which happens to the Jewish people, nothing negative, that doesn't involve a little bit of Egel payback. So think about it this way. Every single time we are judged, there is a question in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind, so to speak. Is there punishment to be here? And if there is, should we attach a little bit of the dose of the Egel? And if so, how much? So think about what that means. Every single time we attempt to get kapara for something, every single time we attempt to measure out how much really do we deserve, how much punishment do we deserve for this, or not. So every single time, there's a sensitivity to, and what about the ego? And what about the ego? What about that part of the punishment? And so in response to that, what happens is we're so sensitive to the ego and its involvement that we want to strip any reference of the ego from that experience. We don't want any ego there, because any reference to that story could add chas v'shalom, God forbid, to whatever it is that we're going to be judged for in the present. That's what I call the top-down approach. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges, that is what we are nervous about when we think about the gold. Then, finally, and we'll close with this, we have what I think is the bottom-up approach. When we try to do tshuva, what are we doing? Well, what are we attempting to do when we are wrapping our heads around the concept of change? So when you think about shofar, and we said before, shofar is lefnim. So we have a cut to 34. We have the Ari Yisrael who says as follows. Yisrael Salanta. He says, "Is tekiya shofar?" What happens during tekiya shofar? He says, "That's asher adam niskav nishpat al masav." That's the moment, he says, when the shofar is blown. That's the moment when we're judged. I am like a person. I'm listening to the shofar. I'm just a guy listening to a shofar. I am like the Kohen Gadol who is walking into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in that moment. That's how I am supposed to imagine it in our minds. We are supposed to use our imagination as part of this tshuva process, or this our imagination as part of this Yom Kippur, this coming into the New Year process, where we assume ourselves to be a part of these big, major events, these very magnificent and incredibly significant moments in our history, in our year. This is what is happening to us right now. And that requires a lot of focus. That requires a lot of concentration. You can take a look at Rav Destin on Source 37. The concentration that's required for tshuva, the concentration, the lishma, the focus, the energy that is required, it takes a lot. It takes a lot to imagine the things that we need to imagine to get the goals, to get to the places where our goals are. So I'm going to close with source 35 and 36. The pasuk in the beginning of Shemini, Vayomer Moshe Aharon, Kral l'Mizbeach. Come to the Mizbeach and bring those karbanos that we talked about before. Bring that carbon, bring that egel. Bring that egel that you're supposed to bring to atone for you, Aharon. Take a look at what that Dasakenim says. Unbelievable thing. If you've never seen it before. Shahaya Hasat in source 36. Shahaya Hasat in Mahar Lefanav Dumus Egel. Because what Aharon had in his mind as he's supposed to bring this egel is the image of an egel. Maybe it was on the, is in the chronos of the Mizbeach, right? It's got the horns, literally. It's got chronos. It looked like an egel. It quacked like an egel. And all Aharon could do is think about the egel in his past. Shleyeh Rayu La'avoda. And he said, no, I can't do this. I can't get better because I have this moment of sin. I have the chait, which I'm saddled with. I can't move on until Moshe said, Amar Moshe, Krav al Hamizbeach Ba'al Tira Ki Becha Bochar Hashem. We have to remove, when we're in these Kodesh HaKadoshim moments, when we are in these spots of imagination, where we're supposed to imagine ourselves as something greater, imagine ourselves a part of this process of growth and elevation. We are supposed to imagine ourselves in a place where if we are somehow distracted by the Zahav, if we're distracted by the symbols of the Egel HaZahav, we will not be able to get there. If we are thinking about our past, if we are thinking about our baggage, we will not be able to ascend to the next level. And so if it's top down, if it's top, if it's bottom up, in Katayin HaSenegar applies where it does, but most of all, we should remember when we should walk in pure and clean and not beholden to the mistakes of our past. Shkoch.
I'm the third cousin of Rabbi.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
so that's...